Today is the 26th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. It's always great to be around the global campfire together. And here we are at the conclusion of another week, so we get a shiny, sparkly new start tomorrow. But this is the time to look back. How did we do? How did we live into this week? Knowing that there is the grace that we start over again. But that's tomorrow. Here we are. Let's bring our week in for a landing together as we take the next step forward in the scriptures. And we have clearly been working through the book of Job, which is what we will continue to do. Job and his friends are continuing to argue at this point. Job is in distress that maybe none of us can really even understand. We can understand suffering, but this is a level that's pretty severe. And so he's speaking out of his heart from this very, very broken, place. But he will not sin against God. And his friends are trying to convince him that he already has. And that's the problem. So let's continue the journey. Job, chapters 20, 21, and 22 today. Then Zophar the Naamathite responded, "This is why my troubled thoughts make me respond again, and why my thoughts are racing through my mind. I heard a rebuke that insults me, so my spirit prompts me to respond with understanding. Don't you know this? From ancient times, from the time when Adam was placed on the earth, the triumphant cry of the wicked has been short-lived, and the joy of the godless lasts only a moment. Although his arrogance reaches up to the skies and his head touches the clouds, he will perish forever, like his own filth. Those who saw him will say, 'Where is he?' Like a dream, he flies away and cannot be found. Like a vision during the night, he flutters away. An eye catches sight of him, but it does not see him again. His place will no longer look at him. His children must make restitution to the poor. His hands must give back his wealth. His bones were once filled with youthful vigor, but that vigor will lie down with him in the dust. If evil tastes sweet in his mouth, and he tucks it under his tongue, if he hoards it for himself and he does not let it go, but savors it on his palate, his food will turn into cobra venom in his stomach. He swallowed wealth, but he vomits it up. God makes him expel it from his belly. He sucks the poison of cobras. The fangs of a viper kill him. He will not see the streams, the rivers that flow with honey and cream. Without digesting it, he gives up the produce for which he labored. He does not enjoy the wealth for which he traded, because he has crushed and abandoned the poor, and he has stolen a house he did not build. His stomach is never filled. He cannot satisfy his desires, because now there is nothing left for him to eat, so his prosperity will not endure. Even when he has plenty, distress catches up with him, and misery grabs hold of him. While he is filling his belly, God will send burning anger upon him, and it will rain down on his body. He flees from iron weapons, but he is pierced by a bronze arrow. He pulls the arrow out of his back, and the shiny point comes out of his liver. Terrors come over him. Complete darkness is lying in wait for his hidden treasures. A fire that needs no fanning will consume him. It will destroy anything that survives in his tent. The heavens will uncover his guilt, and the earth will rise up against him. A flood will carry away his house, sweeping away his possessions on the day of God's wrath. This is God's sentence on the evil man. This is his heritage decreed by God." Then Job responded, "Listen carefully to my words. That is the kind of encouragement you should give me. Put up with me while I speak. Then, after I have spoken, you may resume your mocking. Is my complaint against a man? Why shouldn't I be impatient? Look at me and be shocked, and then put your hand over your mouth. When I remember all this, I am terrified, and horror makes my flesh tremble. Why do the wicked keep living, reach old age, and even become stronger? Their descendants are firmly established in their presence, and they live long enough to see their offspring. Their houses are safe from fear, and God's rod does not strike them. The wicked man's bulls breed without failing. His cows deliver calves without miscarrying. Their toddlers frolic like flocks, and their children dance around. They sing to the accompaniment of hand drums and lyres. They celebrate to the sound of a flute. They finish out their days in prosperity. Then they go down to the grave in a moment. They say to God, "Keep away from us. We know your ways, but we find no pleasure in them. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what benefit do we gain from pleading with him? But I know that their prosperity is not in their own hands. So I have distanced myself from the way of life of the wicked. How often is the lamp of the wicked extinguished? How often does the disaster they deserve come upon them? How often does God in his anger dole out their fair share of pain? How often are they like straw blown by the wind, like chaff that a windstorm whisks away? People say, God stores up a man's punishment for his children, but he should repay the man himself so that he experiences it. Let his own eyes see his condemnation. Let him drink from the rage of the Almighty. For what does he care about his household after his death, when his allotment of months has run out? Can anyone teach God knowledge, since he judges even the most exalted ones? One person dies with vigor in his bones, completely secure and at ease. His body is filled out with fat, and his bones are rich with marrow. Another person dies with his soul filled with bitterness, without ever tasting anything good. Both of them lie down together in the dust, and worms cover them both. Oh, I know your thoughts and your schemes to harm me. For you say, where is the noble man's house? And where is the tent, which was the dwelling of the wicked? Why don't you question those who travel the roads? Why don't you acknowledge the lessons they learned? They say that the wicked man is spared from the day of disaster, and that he escapes the day of raging fury. Who denounces him to his face for the way he has lived? Who repays him for what he has done? When he is carried to the tombs, when a vigil is kept at his burial mound, the clods of dirt from the stream bed are sweet to him. Everyone follows his funeral procession. A crowd of people marches ahead of it. So how can you comfort me with your useless words? There is nothing left from your answers but fraud." Eliphaz the Temanite responded, "Can a man benefit God? Can even a wise man be of any use to him? Should the Almighty be delighted if you are righteous? Does he gain any advantage if your ways are blameless? Is it because of your reverence that he rebukes you and comes against you in judgment? Isn't your wickedness great? Isn't your guilt endless? You have seized collateral from your brothers without cause, and you have stripped off clothing from the naked. You have not given water to the weary, and you have withheld bread from the hungry. The earth belongs to a forceful man, and a well-respected man dwells in it. You send widows away empty-handed. You crush the arms of the fatherless. That is why snares are all around you, and sudden fear overwhelms you. That is why you cannot see in the darkness and floodwaters cover you. Is not God in the heights of heaven? Look at the highest stars so high above. But you say, what does God know? Can he judge through the thick darkness? Dark clouds are a veil around him, so he does not see us as he walks back and forth in heaven's dome. Are you the guardian of the ancient way, the one traveled by wicked men? They were snatched away before their time. Their foundation was washed away by a river. They said to God, keep away from us. And what can the Almighty do to us, even though he had filled their houses with good? That is why the way of life of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see this and are glad. The innocent mock them, saying, surely our adversaries have been erased. Fire has eaten up their abundance. Be reconciled with God. Be at peace with him. Then good will come to you. Accept teaching from his mouth and set his words in your heart. If you turn to the Almighty, you will be built up. If you want to put injustice far from your tent, throw your purest gold into the dust and your gold from Ophir upon the rocks and the ravines. Then the Almighty will be your purest gold and your most precious silver. Then you will find pleasure in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face to God. You will pray to God and he will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows. You will decide on a matter and it will be done for you, and light will shine on your ways. When people are brought low, and you say, lift them up, God will save the downcast. He will deliver even the person who is not innocent, who will escape by the purity of your hands. Okay, so yesterday we completed 1 Corinthians, a letter of Paul to the church in Corinth. So that means we have some new territory to enter into as we end our week. This is another letter from the Apostle Paul, sent to the very same people that we just read about. This letter is known as 2 Corinthians. It's likely this is Paul's at least third letter to the Corinthian church, because while we were reading through 1 Corinthians, he references an earlier letter. But if there was an earlier letter, or that if that's correct, we don't have it. It hasn't been preserved or discovered yet. There is pretty much no division among biblical scholars about the authenticity of this letter. There are some scholarly debates about whether it's a complete letter or if it's maybe the combination of two different letters, because the front half and the back half have different tones. And so the people who do work with texts have observed this and wondered if maybe it's two letters stitched, but we don't know that either. This letter was probably written on the third missionary journey of Paul, and Titus, who Paul writes a letter to, and we'll read that a little bit later on our journey, but Titus, who's a son in the faith to Paul, had visited the Corinthian church, and then he later met up with Paul during Paul's travels. And so Paul got to hear this direct feedback from the church in Corinth of the impact of the letter that he had just written, the one that we just read. And that prompted Paul to write the letter that we will begin in a few minutes. So let's just remember, Corinth was a large city, a cosmopolitan city, a city of trade, a large establishment in the Roman Empire. It was definitely a melting pot, like a big city would be. So lots of ideas and persuasions and faiths, like a secular city would be. And so this was in the church culture as well. And there was a lot of division. And a small group of members were playing early church politics to get power. And so Paul's authority over the church was being questioned. The things that he was putting in place to govern the church were being questioned. His apostleship was being questioned. Even the gospel that he preached was being questioned. And so that's the context for the letter of 2 Corinthians. And the things that Paul's dealing with in this letter, they're still around. That was a couple thousand years ago, so it might look a little bit different, but the issues that Paul is bringing up remain with us until today. And so let's invite the Holy Spirit into what we're about to read and allow the Holy Spirit to shine the light of truth into our hearts. And so with that, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, together with all the saints who are everywhere in Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so through Christ our comfort also overflows. If we are troubled, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you the ability to endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope for you is sure, since we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. Brothers, we do not want you to be unaware of the trouble that happened to us in the province of Asia. We were burdened so greatly, so far beyond our ability to bear it, that we even gave up hope of living. Yes, we even felt the sentence of death within ourselves. This happened so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. He rescued us from such a terrible death, and he will continue to rescue us. We have set our hope on him that he will also rescue us again, as you join in helping us with your prayers for us. Then many people will thank God for the gracious gift given to us through many prayers. Psalm 40, 11 through 17. Lord, you do not hold back your compassion from me. Let your mercy and your truth always protect me. Although troubles without number surround me, punishments for my guilt have smothered me so I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, so my courage deserts me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. Lord, hurry to help me. Let all who seek to end my life be frustrated and completely confused. Let everyone who desires my ruin be turned back and disgraced. Let those who say to me, "Aha, we got you," be dismayed, because they have been put to shame. But let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation always say, "The Lord is great." Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think about me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay. Proverbs 22, 2 through 4. Rich and poor have this in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. A sensible person sees trouble and hides, but the naive keep going and pay the penalty. The outcome of humility and the fear of the Lord is wealth, honor, and life. Father, we thank you for your word. We love you, Lord. We thank you for bringing us into this new territory of 2 Corinthians, even as we continue our journey through Job. Come, Holy Spirit, continue to lead and direct us on the paths that we should walk, on the narrow path that leads to life. As we end this week and prepare to step into a new one, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home, and that is where you can check in and find out what's going on around here. So certainly do that, or download the Daily Audio Bible app from the App Store that works with your device, and that'll put everything very conveniently in app form and so much more. So check it out. Check out the different sections, like get connected with the prayer wall in the community section. Or check out the resources that are available in the Daily Audio Bible shop, whether that be written resources or things to view, like to go deeper into the geography of the Bible or whatever your heart may desire. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody, anywhere, anytime, so that God's word is always speaking, if that is meaningful to you and has brought life into your life, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi-dee-ho, siblings. It's your little sis, his little Cherie in Canada. I just stumbled out of bed and walked into the kitchen, and I was practically bowled over by this ditty. It just hit me like a freight train, and I started singing it as if I'd known it for years. And so I think Daddy wants me to share it with you. It's for all of us who have been struggling or going through something hard. And some of you might catch the reference to the Green Ember series, but that's bonus. It goes like this. Isn't it awful? Don't you just hate it? The sad, the pain, the tears. Daddy, it's awful. Don't you just hate it? The sad, the pain, the tears. It will not be so in the mended wood. It will not be so, my child. Every little thing that isn't well will be well in a while. Just hang on for a while. I'm with you all the while. Good morning, Debers. This is Intertwined in God's Love. Just wanted to check in with you to let you know about my jail time. I completed it, and it was just the most incredible experience. The first weekend that I was there, I was all by myself, just me and my Bible and the Lord. And I felt the Holy Spirit wanting me to fast and just pray about the whole situation. And I was so encouraged by Sunday, and was glad that I had that experience. The second weekend I was there, I met three gals that were just amazing. All had just some sad stuff to share with me, and and I had the opportunity to share, you know, everything that I had gone through, and they couldn't believe that I would even be there with them in jail. And anyway, we became really good friends on that whole weekend, and they asked a bunch of questions about my faith, about, you know, why I read my Bible, and mainly about my fasting. I told them that to me, fasting is like a silent prayer that you carry as you're going through your fast, and that and I called it my fasting for repentance, and shared just a little bit about what repentance was, and they were just enamored by everything. And that was the second weekend. Well, the last weekend that I spent, they were still there, and I only have a few seconds. I will just let you know what went on that
last. Hello, my beautiful Dab family. It's your sibling, Leo, from Pennsylvania. Leo and the Lamb. Today, August 22nd, is my first Dab birthday. I started listening to the Dab August 22nd, 2022. On this day last year while I was working as a custodian, and man, I was lonely at the time, and I just took such comfort in your voices, in listening to your prayers, and I just had so much time as I worked to just pray with all of you. I've been praying silently whenever I have not called in, and thank you so much to those of you who have greeted me and responded to my prayer requests. Little Cherie from Canada, Dawn of a New Day, Beloved in Texas, and I take so much comfort in the voices like Sparky and Kingdom Seeker Daniel, Blind Tony, Eyes of a Dove, and your whole family, Victorious Val, and everyone else, Jamie from New Jersey, His little yellow flower, Susan from Canada. Thank you so much for your frequent call-ins. And I think about all of you, and I just pray that all of you keep your eyes on Jesus, even through the fiercest storms in life. Just like Peter, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can walk on water, even as we face the fiercest storms. Just keep our eyes on Jesus, and we'll be walking on water. God bless you all. Shalom. Have a beautiful day, everyone. Shalom, shalom.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible Family. This is Little Leaf. It's been a very long time since I called in. I honestly can't remember the last time that I've called in, but I know that you guys did pray me out of a very dark place in the past, and I'm doing a lot better now, and my relationship with my husband is much better than it was before, but I'm still struggling because he still lives with this woman, raises her daughter, and obviously he's been raising her since she was pretty much born, and now she's calling him daddy, and he has a very, very tight bond with the child. He doesn't so much care or desire to be with the other woman anymore, nor does he even trust her, but it still breaks my heart that he's still there. And now that there's a child that is looking at him as a father, and she's only getting older and only growing more attached as the days go by, so I worry about them. I worry about her and how this is going to affect her, and I worry about him, and I do want to keep the marriage. I haven't divorced, and I'm doing my best to stay away from that and just trust that the work that God's doing in me, which has been phenomenal. But there are still times where I go back and forth with myself about whether or not I should continue to stand for my marriage or just go ahead and let things go, especially for the sake of the little girl. But yes, I could use your prayers, and I love you guys. Thank you.